Proverbs 1 and verse 9. Let's take a look at the next one. Proverbs 1 and verse 9. It says, "For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy neck, unto thy head, and chains about thy neck." The "they" there is the instruction of thy father and the law of thy mother. "They shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." So, this verse is telling us the instruction of fathers and the law of mothers, when heeded by obedient children, will be like precious jewelry worn for all to see. It's better to wear, and I think I came up with this saying, not that it's anything real profound, but it's better to wear an ornament of grace than one of gold. Right? Better to have an ornament of grace than gold. We're told in Proverbs 25 and verse 12, Proverbs 25 and verse 12, that as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. So a wise reprover to an obedient ear, and you got to have both, right? If you have a foolish reprover, it's not going to help much. And if you don't have an obedient ear, it doesn't matter how wise the reproof is. But if you have the two of those things, then it's like an earring of gold, right? A fine gold. It's a beautiful adornment to a person. If you have somebody that will accept the reproof of a wise person and obediently follow it. Much better than any earring of gold you could ever buy yourself. I think of young girls that often want to wear earrings before their dad, or should be their dad anyway, wants them to. And they, you know, I don't know, some people pick 12 for an age, and I don't know why that is. But anyway, a lot of people pick 12, and girls want to wear the earrings before they get to be 12 or something. And, you know, they're kind of frustrated by that. But you know what? If they would actually just obey what the father says, just obeying what he says and not getting the earring before 12 or whatever his rule is, would be a prettier looking earring on you than anything, right? Because you're listening to the instruction of a father. So even if you don't wear any jewelry, you can look like you're beautifully adorned just by obeying the instruction of a father. This we go for children, and it goes for adults too, which I'll get to in just a second. Jewelry is often worn to beautify a person and to draw the attention of others. And I'll bet you've noticed this before. A wise and well-mannered child who respects and observes the commands and instructions of her parents will stand out more than if she were wearing a golden crown or 3 pounds of gold chains around her neck. You take a little girl, or a little boy for that matter, and you see him being wise and well-mannered, obeying his parents, behaving himself well, and you look at that, and you'd be way more impressed than if he had somehow had a gold crown on his head. You'd be like, wow, that's a neat gold crown. But, you know, in today's day and age, he would stand out more than the boy or the girl with the gold crown. Because we don't see a lot of that anymore. I mean, at least I don't see it on the bus. I certainly don't see wise and well-mannered children. There's a few quiet ones that are, and I think that's only because they're quiet, probably, that they're fairly well-mannered. But I don't see a lot of good manners at all. I told you before, and it really hasn't changed much. I say good morning to him every morning, and most of them still don't say good morning to me. There's a few of them. More of them do now, but there's still plenty of them that walk just right on past. Good morning, see you later, never say a word. Still don't have manners. I'm still working at it, but I guess they've just never been taught anything. I don't know. I would just encourage Braden, that when somebody says hi to you, say hi back. If they say good morning back. You know, please, thank you, all that stuff. I know it's simple stuff, and I'm sure you're doing that, but I just see all these kids at school, and I just think, well, apparently this is not obvious to all, because somebody's not doing it anyway.
It's just teaching people how to communicate.
Yeah, just basic human societal manners, you know. I know it. They do. I suppose if I texted them whenever they were walking up to the bus, they'd probably text me back or something. I'm telling you.
It'd be some code you didn't understand.
Yeah, yeah. You know. I probably couldn't even read it because it would be all this texties stuff. I asked one of them the other day if He's a troublemaker, but he's I don't think he's a bad kid, really. He's sitting up front now, so I talked to him some, and I asked him, I said, so are the kids using Facebook these days? Because I sound like this old fogey, or what are they using? Oh, no, like Snapchat, you know. I said, so Facebook for your grandparents? Yeah, pretty much, parents and grandparents. And so, yeah, it's different. I mean, I sound like this old fogey, but, you know, you realize even as young as I am, 36, when I was in high school, no cell phones. I didn't know I did not have a cell phone. I didn't know one single person had a cell phone when I was in school. I mean, how things have changed, let alone Facebook and social networking and all, even email. I mean, I think I had an email address maybe, but it wasn't anything where I didn't email with any friends or anything like that. And it's just amazing just in this short amount of time how much things have changed. Because back in the day, it was pretty much like when your parents went to school, you guys, and you guys went to school, it probably wasn't all that different. I am assuming there probably wasn't much change. There was different fads or bell bottoms or whatever, but I mean, there wasn't fundamental differences. And nowadays, it is completely different, like how they communicate and all that. And I don't know, there's no turning it back, but I don't like the way it's going. But this isn't only true of children, it's true of adults alike. Now, let's look at Proverbs 4, 7 through 9. Proverbs 4, 7 through 9. We can all be adorned, as it were, with beautiful jewelry if we hear instruction and keep the commandments of God. Proverbs 4, 7 through 9. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. You may never be able to afford a gold crown, and you look like a weirdo if you ever wore one. But if you exalt wisdom, then you have, as it were, a crown of glory, better than a king's crown. The most handsome necklace that a man can don is one made of mercy and truth. Let's look at Proverbs 3 and verse 3. Proverbs 3:3. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. It's a necklace, mercy and truth. And I just thought of a verse in Proverbs 19:22 this evening, where it says that the desire of a man is his kindness. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. Mercy and truth, kindness. If you are a kind person, people will desire you. They desire to be around you. They like you, right? They're drawn to you because of your kindness, because of mercy and truth. Then it goes for women too. A godly woman adorned with an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit looks far more attractive to her husband than does a fair woman without discretion. And I think any man, at least any Christian man, would agree with me, right? You take a woman that is adorned with a meek and quiet spirit, 1 Peter 3, 3 through 4, and then take a woman that is like the harlot in chapter 7, loud and stubborn, feet abide not in her house, and then we'll look at this verse in Proverbs 11, that has the woman that has not discretion, the godly man is going to pick the woman of a meek and quiet spirit, even if she's not as pretty as the other one is, right? Because there's something about a godly woman with a meek and quiet spirit. She's more attractive than the beautiful woman is that dresses like a whore and that's loud and brash and, you know, those kind of things. Anyway, 1 Peter 3 through 4. Says, whose adorning, speaking to godly Christian women, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting, it's like braiding the hair, or wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Of course, this verse isn't saying that you can't braid your hair, or you can't wear gold, or you can't put on clothing. As a matter of fact, you pretty much have to put on clothing, right? It says the wearing of apparel. But that's not that should not be what defines you, right? That shouldn't be what you are all about, right? It's fine to look nice, but it's more important to have the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. That's what God is really impressed with. And that's what godly men are impressed with, too. But on the other hand, look at Proverbs 11 and verse 22. Proverbs 11, 22. Here's the flip side of that. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. Think about that. Think about a pig with a jewel of gold in his snout. Right? It's covered in mud and slop and whatever. And you just, I mean, I think pigs are cool, but I mean, they're not the most glamorous looking animal I've ever seen. And just a ring of gold in its snout would just look absurd and ridiculous, right? Be a waste of a nice piece of gold. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so, in the same way, so is a fair woman, pretty woman, which is without discretion. And you've probably seen that before. We've all seen beautiful women that have no discretion, right? And they're not beautiful. I mean, they may be fleshly appealing, but they are not beautiful. You look at that woman and you just shake your head and you just think, wow, there's a beautiful woman that is just a foolish person that I would not want to be anywhere near, right? A father's commandment and a mother's law should be kept and not forsook, Proverbs 6:20, especially when they are repetitions of God's commandments and laws. Let's look at Proverbs 6 and verse 20. It says, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. So they should be kept and not forsaken. And in order to ensure that they're not lost, Solomon tells his son to bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. Right? Because this goes back to what he's saying there in Proverbs 1:9. They shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Right? So the instruction of a father and the law of the mother will be like chains about the neck. Right? They're going to be close to you. They're not only are they going to look pretty, but they're going to be close to you. And this is what the law of God should be. It says there in verse 21, bind them, that is the father's commandment, the law of thy mother, bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. So in Proverbs 1:9, he's showing how it's going to be an adornment and it's going to look nice on you and make you attractive. And then, but in verse 21, he's talking about the same thing, only here he's saying when he's talking about putting it around your neck, it's like tie it there so you don't lose it, right? Because if you put a necklace around your neck, you're not going to lose it, right? It's not going to go anywhere. This, I would say, is the finest necktie that a young man will ever wear. And he's going to be noticed and praised for it. Because it says, bind him about thy neck, right? There's your necktie for us men. Mercy and truth, Father's commandment, God our Father in this case. We do that, we're going to have a nice tie on. Most decent parents would not allow their children to leave the house dressed like slobs. Although I think that should be the case. I have not experienced that as the case, driving the bus. Some of these kids, some of them look all right, but some of them, kids nowadays, it's crazy. They wear pajamas to school. And not on pajama day, I think they have that or something, but not just on pajama day, just on any old day. And they look like pigs. And they go to school, a little girl today, eighth grader, comes on the bus with short sleeves on. It's like 30 degrees out, short sleeves. I mean, where are your parents? You don't know what's funny? When I was a kid and I would try to get out of the house without, I don't know why kids love to get out of the house without wearing a coat. It's the dumbest thing in the world. Now I like to get out of the house as bundled up as I can so I'm warm. When you're a kid, it's like cool to go out without a coat on or something. And my mom would catch me going out the door, you know what she'd tell me? She'd say, they're going to think you don't have any parents. And I'm like, Mom, that's ridiculous. Why would they think that? Seriously, I just think, why would they think that? They're not going to think anything about my parents. Maybe they'll just think I'm weird or something. You know what I see now? I see girls or kids, whatever, walking around without shirts or without coats in the wintertime. You know what I think? Where are your parents? It's funny how things change. Whenever you're... Yeah, my mom was right. Yeah. It's crazy. But anyway, most decent parents, I would say, wouldn't want their kids to leave the house dressed like pigs and slobs. Well, how much more important is it to not let them leave home without having adorned them with the knowledge of God? Right? You wouldn't want to let them go out with physical attire looking sloppy. Well, you wouldn't want to go out without spiritual attire on either. So I'd say parents, just as God instructed Israel, teach the scripture to your children while they're still young and impressionable. And I'll close with Deuteronomy 6:6-9. And then they will be adorned with that ornament of grace. And they will be noticed. And so will you. People will notice. Oh, you know what? I missed one point. I just remembered it. When I'm talking about being noticed, I have seen people go out of their way to compliment parents of well-behaved and well-mannered kids. I'm certain I've done it myself. I can't think of an example right now, but when you see kids in public that are well-mannered, like at a restaurant or something, you see a family with a bunch of kids and all the kids are just sitting there and behaving themselves. And I know in the past, and I've seen this, where I've seen people compliment the parents and say, you've got a really nice family, your kids are so well-behaved. What used to be the norm is now the exception, right? So if you want to stand out and look like super parent, all you have to do is just do what everybody else did 50 years ago. Just do what a mediocre parent did 50 years ago, and you're going to look like the best parent in the world today. It's amazing. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 6 through 9. And you know what? That is a Christian testimony. That's a testimony. When somebody sees you out and your kids are well-behaved and they notice that, that's a testimony. That is an opportunity to witness right there. You may not even have to open your mouth or say anything, but they're going to notice something is different. And then that may turn into an opportunity to witness. You never know.